Hi, this is a dictation for James Owens, JamesOwens. James Owens, date of birth is 1/1/1989, date of accident is 8/4/2034. Date of service is 7/22/2025. By a physiotherapy for evaluation. The patient reports that he has a chief complaint of pain in the neck, mid back, and lower back to the tune of 7, and severe pain in the left knee to the tune of 6, headaches. This is a automobile accident. Patient alleges he was involved in an automobile accident on 8/4/2024 at around 2:30 a.m. He has been traveling as a front seat passenger in a Ford Fusion 2016, and a driver who was driving was a friend. The patient reported they were traveling on northbound Lodge, and as they were exiting on McNichols, M-C-N-I-C-H-O-L-S, McNichols, near Myers, M-E-I-J-E-R, they were on the ramp of the exit ramp as another car came from behind and hit them real hard, rear-ending accident at almost 50-60 miles. While there, they were at 5 to 10 miles. The traffic in front has slowed down and stopped. This impact lifted their car up and it hit hit the rail or the right side metal boundary. They did not hit a car in front, and he was wearing a seatbelt, airbags deployed. They were hit by a car called Buick LaCrosse, B-U-I-C-K-L-A-C-R-O-S-S-E. The police came to the scene, ambulance came to the scene. It was not a hit and run accident. The patient was taken to the Saint Agnes Hospital in the emergency room, where he remained for 7 hours. Only X-rays were done, no CT scans were done. Everything was found okay, and then he was discharged on medications. Regarding the damage, patient report that the rear trunk of the car and the rear bumper was all damaged. And because of the guardrail impact, all the driver's side is entirely damaged. Rear windshield was completely cracked. Rear bumper was cracked. Car was totaled. Regarding the injuries, he was wearing a seatbelt. Did not impact anything directly, but some neck whiplash occurred due to the impact of the headrest, and no other laceration, fracture, dislocation, or bleeding were reported. He may have hit his left knee in the dashboard, but he doesn't remember. He reports of passing out for 20 seconds. History of the patient reports that he was involved in this accident on 8/4/2024, and his symptoms have been continuing. He has been to an American pain center, which has just closed last month. He was being given pain medication, but no injections, no surgeries, no other treatment. He has done physical therapy through the Alpine for 70 visits and a chiropractic treatment near Crossroad Building, 25 visits. However, he reports of no relief. The patient did bring some MRIs from Northern Radiology. They are done on August 15, 2024, and will be reviewed at the end. Regarding the history presenting illness, patient is complaining of headaches, which are 5 on a scale of 1 to 10, and they are front and back of the head, moderately severe, off and on, and they're sensitive to the noise. and they last for 1 to 2 hours. No associated nausea, vomiting, seizures, or aura. Additional symptoms of TBI patient is reporting ringing in the ear, forgetfulness, lack of focus, lack of concentration. And patient denies any dizziness, vertigo, loss of consciousness. Patient denies any loss of balance, loss of equilibrium, seizures. Patient denies any incontinence of the urine bowel, denies any nausea, vomiting. Patient denies any blurred vision, spots in the vision, or loss of vision field. And his ringing in the ear is gone completely. It was early in the beginning of that time. No taste problem, smell problem, TMJ problems are reported. In addition, patient has slight sleep disturbance and depression and nightmares, but no anxiety or panic at this time. No weakness, lightheadedness, no numbness, tingling, no radiculopathy of the pain, and no subtle anesthesia are reported. Slight difficulty in walking due to the pain in the left knee, which is moderate. In addition, regarding the pain syndrome, please review the records. The pains are present several times a day in the neck, which is 7, mid-back 7, upper back 7, lower back 7. No radiculopathy is reported to the upper extremities or lower extremities. Pain in the left knee is 6, and headaches are 5. Please review the records for the intensity, for the modified factors, for and modified factor for the pain, for the additional issues, and system review, surgical history, allergies, family history, relationship status, employment status, legal history, personal history, ADLs, as well as the diagnosis are all in the records being sent. Thank you. Physical examination reveals the following. The blood pressure is 151 over 110. Pulse is 62. Pulse ox is 100. And the patient is 6 feet and 1 inch. Weight 222. 36-year-old African-American male who is alert-oriented, cooperative, and conscious. No sinus, jaundice, clubbing, colonicia. Sitting comfortably. Patient is well-built, well-nourished, obese, slightly. Hydration is good. Patient doesn't appear to be in acute distress or shortness of breath or severe pain phases. Patient doesn't appear to be anxious or lethargic. The patient has a good attitude and demeanor. Dress and hygiene is normal. The patient is able to walk slightly limping due to the knee pain and is otherwise mobile, not wearing any knee brace or ACE bandage. He's not using any adaptive devices either. The rest of the exam is from the template. That includes the general neurological, psychiatric, and musculature examination, which are all normal. Musculoskeletal inspection palpation is from the template. Spine tenderness, none is observed. Paravertebral muscle spasm, none is observed. Range of motion of the cervical spine is as follows. Forward flexion is 40. Extension is 50, bilateral side flexion is 40, bilateral rotation is 60. In the lumbar spine, forward flexion is 50, and extension is 15, side flexion is 20, the rotation is 20. SI joint was found slightly tender, but the spine as such were not found tender. Maneuvers to identify reproduce the pain. In cervical spine, Hoffman sign was found negative. The Sperling sign was negative, and Lermit test was positive, and distraction test was positive. Toto Hall test negative. In the thoracic spine, slump test was negative, and the Roos test was negative. Lumbar spine, Brzezinski Kernick test is positive. And straight leg raising test is positive at 30 degrees. Bilaterally, CLR is positive. Camp is positive. Breger negative. And Babinski sign is negative. In the SI joint, Faber test was positive bilaterally. Constant test was positive bilaterally. Tending flexion test was positive. Iliocompression positive. Distraction test positive. In the extremities, only the left knee has some pathology. Rest of the extremities, please use a template, all normal. The left knee examination reveals that there is no scar, erythema, or effusion on inspection. On palpation, there are no tender points, swelling, asymmetry. It doesn't feel cold, no crepitus grinding, popping noise. Range of motion is 135 degrees on flexion to extension, from full extension. Collateral ligaments are found intact. Motor power is normal. Valgus varus abnormality not present. Anterior drawer and posterior drawer was negative. Steinman sign, McMurray sign are negative. Patellar apprehension negative. Diagnosis from the diagnosis stage. Plan of care is from the template. Treatment plan is as follows. The patient is ordered a physical therapy. Patient reported 70 visits to physical therapy as well as 25 chiropractic visits. We have asked him to cut down the physical therapy as it is not going to help. Only once a week I have continued for the timing until we can obtain a PT evaluation and certification from the therapist for further therapy. Physical therapy will continue on neck, mid-back, lower back, and the left knee area once a week, and possibly SI joint area. With traction massage, aquatherapy, gait training, home exercise, and McKenzie back program are ordered. The patient will continue working on 7 hours, 6 days, 10-pound lifting limit. Medications are provided for the patient as follows. The patient is provided with Wellbutrin XR, 150 milligram twice a day for his bad dreams, anxiety. Zoloft is provided. I'm sorry, Wellbutrin was not provided. It is Zoloft. Zoloft is provided 50 milligram twice a day for anxiety, panic, sleep problems. Neurontin, 600 milligram for radiculopathy and headaches. Medigesic is for headaches. Lidoprim is for topical pain relief. Patient was provided a compounding cream for deep tissue pain also. Percocet 10 over 325, one pill a day for 15 days was provided. We discussed with the patient that he will be reduced to a Tylenol codeine for further pain relief. And since he has been on Percocet for a while, twice a day we have reduced it to once a day. And goal will be to eliminate it completely as soon as possible. Left knee pain is to be addressed by an injection intra-articular to the left knee for which patient has agreed, and that will be done at the end of the visit. Non-pharmacological modalities, yes. Home exercise plan, yes. Referral to psychiatry, yes, for his ongoing anxiety and terror dreams, nightmares. Fitness club is yes. Review of the available MRI, other imaging records. So the MRIs were available, and they were done at the Northland Radiology. In the left knee MRI, it shows that there is no evidence of a meniscus tear. There is a mild thinning of the distal fiber of anterior cruciate ligament, likely related to a partial tearing and small knee joint effusion. The MRI of the pelvis and the left hip was completely normal. MRI for the cervical spine shows the following. It shows a disc herniation and disc involvement at C3-4, C4-5, C5-6, and C6-7. Along with this, there is a mild spinal stenosis, especially at C5 and 6. And there is an unconvertible osteophyte facet joint arthrosis and moderate bilateral foramen stenosis. In the thoracic spine, we find T1, T2, T2 and 3, T10 and 11, and T11 and T12 being involved and leading to a mild to moderate spinal stenosis. In the lumbar spine, patient has the following. L5-S1, there is a grade 1 retrolisthesis of L5-1-S1. mild disc bulge, a superimposed central disc herniation, rim tear of the annulus fibrosis, abuts the S1 nerve, and no mass effect on the dural sac. Moderate facet joint arthrosis, several bilateral foramina stenosis with disc bulge abutting the L5 nerve root. The patient has been advised that he'll benefit from, so the interventional pain procedures are to be recommended. One is intra-articular injection of the knee, lumbar epidural stride injection time 4 for the findings in the MRI, and then thoracic epidural times 2 as well as cervical epidural times 2. Surgical options, none for now. Neuropsych, none. Attended care and caseworker, none. Past medical records have been ordered released from the previous providers, especially American Pain Center. Investigations, none. None are being ordered. DMEs, patient already has all the DMEs. He has been advised to wear an ACE bandage for his left knee. Education is yes. Disability has been... patient has been released to a light duty job. Direct contact, yes, follow visit in 15 days. Patient will be scheduled for epidural injections in next week. Then there is a procedure that is being done at the end. Procedure for James Owens, date of procedure 7/22/2025, date of birth 1/10/89. The procedure is being done is intra-articular injection of the left knee with steroid and morphine. The procedure is being done according to the protocol. Medical indications are based on a pain in the left knee that is worse on walking and going upstairs and downstairs, as well as no relief with all the physical therapy for last 1 year, and the pain has continued for more than 1 year. MRI is positive for a sprain of the ACL, and hence the series of injection is being discussed and provided. Patient signed a consent. The injection was done successfully. 5 cc of dexamethasone with 0.5% of morphine was injected. Successfully, no bleeding was noticed and bandage was applied. Patient reported significant relief in pain. This procedure will be done another 15 days later. Thank you.